going to speak.
And Carlin?
She's right there.
Oh, which one's speaking? Her or the little one?
Take your pick.
Well, maybe she wants to help. That's okay. You can just hold her if that. I don't mind. Okay, that's okay. Just speak your name, please, and then away you go.
Jackie Carlton. So I lived on Close Farm for 8 years. I'm so thankful to get the opportunity to live in such a great environment surrounded by trees, birds, and wildlife. It would have been even better if I had other things to do besides ride my bike and chase cows. I think the biggest benefit of allowing Chinook Ridge Golf Course to develop is... It wouldn't only be good for the neighborhood's kids to grow and strive and hang out with their friends, but they could have jobs where they could learn and work, stay fit and be healthy. At the same time, it also gives kids the opportunity to learn and how to play golf and stop playing video games and watching TV. It would help them set goals and work at a job that they normally wouldn't consider. I think as time goes on, more people would take up golf because you can still talk to each other while you're playing, and it is a safe sport. Not too many brain injuries happen on a golf course, unlike some other rough sports. When family and friends have people visit, really, what is there to do in the middle of the country? Well, this would give people the chance to play with family and friends and keep people busy and active. I think Chinook Ridge is going to be the best thing for the community to grow and for people to come together and have fun. Thank you for listening to me talk.
Okay, thanks very much. Ron Letirio, did I pronounce that correctly? Oh, okay. Then is there anybody else who wanted to speak in favor? Okay, we'll go to the ones who are opposed. Darlene Guzda.
Yes, I have some pamphlets and pictures also that I would like distributed, please. These ones in this group with the pictures are for the council.
Is it a picture for everyone?
Just in this file. Yes, thank you.
Whenever you're ready.
Is that okay?
Just your name first, please.
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Arlene Guzda. I reside in the county of Rocky View on Highway 574, approximately 3 kilometers southeast of the proposed development. I was also born and raised in the area, and I'm here to challenge the proposal just because of the location and the access on 574 and the country roads. And also, I have a concern with the water. It's been mentioned quite a few times this afternoon that this is not a farming area. It is definitely an agricultural area. That does include ranching. Ranching is different than farming. Most of the lands around closed development and where I live are 100-year-old farms. They are run by, they're still people, grazing cattle. I look to the west, and I'm off track from my notes, sorry, but lots been thrown at us today here.
That's okay. You can go back and forth on it.
Thank you.
Yeah. 5 minutes is quite a while, actually.
Okay, thank you. And I look out to the west of our house, and there's 100 cow-calf grazing on the pasture. To the north and northeast are another 80 to 100, and to the southeast of our house are between 700 and 800 cow-calf pairs grazing on ranch land. Highway 574 is a gravel road that is extremely dusty, or else very slippery and unpredictable when wet. The infrastructure in our exclusively agricultural community does not warrant the magnitude of this proposal. We still have regular cattle drives on these roads. We still move farm equipment on these roads, and this equipment is big and slow, as you could see in Randy's pictures. We also have regular gravel truck runs on the 574. And these trucks, I wish I had a video and had time to show, when they're running, they can be running every 5 minutes. At the most, they're 10 minutes apart. They are going all day long. And the pictures show some of the dust that they produce, and one from just one car at dusk at sunset, with the dust lingering on that pasture where the 100 cow-calf operation is. More traffic will disrupt our roads, affecting road conditions and safety, never mind the palatability of the hay pastures for the cattle. Chloe has shared a letter with me in her effort to upgrade 574. This letter was dated September the 6th of this year. The letter was addressed to Chloe Cartwright from Rick MacGyver, Minister of Transport, Alberta. The letter states, "The upgrading of Highway 574 is a future project that is outside the three-year construction program. The present infrastructure in this predominantly agricultural area does not make any difference which road you travel to get to Chinook Ridge. It will not sustain a recreation business proposition of this scale without a great impact and inconvenience to the neighboring farmers and ranchers. I've always been concerned about the water. We are downhill to the east from Chloe. On the family farm, there have always been six natural springs coming out of the coulee. Our water comes from the west. Chloe is to the west. Yes, several neighbors have obliged to a chemical analysis of their water wells. We participated in that also, and the water results were extremely varied. My dad's well and our well, probably 1,000 feet apart, you would think we were across the country from each other. I did speak with a hydrologist in Alberta Environment about these different chemical analyses, and they quote from Claude Urquhart, "It is very likely that our water does come from different sources, but it is not 100% guarantee. Once the water's gone, the water's gone." We did register our water with the Alberta government less than 10 years ago when they had that voluntary program out, and I talked to Alberta government about that, and they said it really doesn't matter if you register your water or not. At the end of the day, when the water tables drops and you're running low on water, like, too bad. Once the water's gone, it's gone. The registering water really doesn't mean anything. It's just paper.
And that's about 5 minutes. Did you have anything else?
I just wanted to say one thing about capturing the water on the land and recycling, and this was brought to my attention from Alberta Environment also, that because some of the water will be recycled, if I'm understanding it properly, captured and recycled, this will affect the neighboring properties, as this will ultimately interrupt the natural flow of the water that we are all dependent upon. And, there was a lot of information thrown out here today. I guess just one other thing. The map showing the residents with the yellow and blue squares with Chloe, that has to be challenged. I personally know lots of neighbors that are in those spots that are apparently vacant.
Okay.
So I guess that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Pat Birchall.
It's still on?
Okay.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Pat Birchall, and I, too, was raised and live within 4 miles of this proposal. I can't begin to address all the concerns that were raised here today, and I'd like to challenge many of the bits of information that you were given as fact, as being very personal slants on things here today. I participated in the hearing last year as well, and I think it's really important to participate in decisions like this, and I'm not opposed to change. I see that our county has had huge stresses put on it by the neighboring towns and cities, and we've had to change with the times. But this is a far corner of Rocky View that has no development. It has a few first parcels out, and those aren't indicated on closed map either. And some land is still held in the father's name, but their children live on those lands that show that nobody is there, and none of us try to farm on a quarter section. Marginal land like that would be grazing land, and we wouldn't try to make enough money off of that quarter to sustain a family. The mantra in real estate is location, location, location. And this application for the redesignation of the 150 acres, because I believe there's already a 10-acre parcel out, is simply a matter of location, the wrong location for a large business in a quiet, mixed agricultural region. Traffic flow is projected to be between 400 and 450 vehicles, and I can attest to the effects of high traffic. I used to live in between a feedlot and their agricultural lands, and the traffic of, as Arlene said, like 5 minutes between loads going by your room, your home, shook our whole house, and we do not live there any longer because of the traffic. The proponent has undertaken some preliminary work to address environmental concerns. People in the area were mostly concerned about traffic and our water, and I think Arlene has covered that well enough, and I won't go into it now. The 64 cubic meters a day is, in fact, 14,166 UK gallons per day, an average two-person household in our area, as estimated by the Conference Board of Canada, uses 158 gallons. So I would suggest that's a huge increase in usage. And local wells need to be flow tested. It's not just not their composition. Flow test tells you how much water you have and how much you don't have when it's gone. We have been presented with a huge amount of information. We've sat here for almost 2.5 hours. And other than the staff's suggestion that this proposal be refused, we've heard glowing reports of everything that this project will bring to our neighborhood. I would suggest that all of this huge mass of information is overshadowing some facts. The fact is that this redesignation to a recreational use in an exclusive agricultural area does not meet Rocky View's agricultural guidelines. The fact is that the proposal is for a large business. 400 to 450 vehicles today is not a boutique. It is a large business. And once the noise and the disruption is there, it is there. So I would suggest let's not get on the slippery slope just yet in that very quiet area and start a development, because the next time somebody comes, they can point to this one and say, sorry, you know, you've already got it here, so let's continue on, like it has happened in Bearspaw and Springbank and Balzac and Chestermere. I can name all of those. Anyway, I would suggest that you listen to your staff and the silent majority who aren't here, of course. There's only a few of us that ever come forward to speak in opposition to things and reconsider and turn down this application. Thank you. Any questions?
I don't see any.
Actually,
thank you. Oh, wait, there is one. I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
Councillor Brakey.
Tried to ask one of the last women, but you beat me to it. Now, the gravel trucks, are the quarries nearby?
You know, I don't actually know where they're hauling, because there are many gravel pits. I know of the one on the 567 over in Pauslin's land. And when I use those roads, I have to contend with these B trains going down. I try to stay off the 567 because it is such a poor road, and somehow or other the traffic counts don't allow that it be paved. It's one of the few secondary highways in Alberta that isn't. But gravel, I don't live right on the road. I live just south of that road. Does that answer your question?
Councillor Haverfield?
Oh, did you have more?
Councillor Haverfield?
I was just going to say, were you talking about 567 or 574?
I'm sorry. I'm talking, both. I don't live on either road, but I use both of them,
and I see
the gravel trucks on the...
The one in the picture was which one?
That's 574. That's okay. Right by Arlene's house. Okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone else who wanted to speak in opposition? Okay, the applicant has an opportunity to speak in rebuttal. Did you need a minute to get things together?
If we could take five, that would be great.
We'll give you four. How's that? We'll just stay here and wave when you're ready. How's that? Now, this is your opportunity for rebuttal, and the only thing you can speak about is what you heard in opposition. You can't bring up any new information, or else somebody up here will hit a button and holler at somebody. So who's going to do that? Randy? Anybody else who spoke in favor can also rebut if they choose to. They don't have to, though. Randy, go ahead.
Thank you. Through the chair to council, and on behalf of the team, I may call up Ivan Kropko and Ken Hugo to respond to one of the issues, but I think the first thing to look at is scale. This is a small local development, relatively speaking. And yes, in Chloe's passion, she hired technical advisors to assess traffic impact assessment. And they projected by 2015 there might be 400 maximum units. But what they didn't put in that was the fact that this is number one, when you're having a wedding, a lot of the functions that Chloe hosts, they come in buses. And there will not likely be ever full one person per car driving to and from this facility. And I'm sure if you talk to Rod Whitman, you'd find out that golfers typically come in mass and they carpool with two or three per car. So it has no compensation or allowance for that factor. It is a top use projection by 2015, not today. And I think with respect to water management, one of the things that has been looked at in depth here, starting number one by demand reduction, the lodge is being looked at a scale where it can be managed. The facility is looking at management practices to best use the waste. It was brought forward about an RV dump station. Well, a dump station has a merit with the Orenco system. If you've got a wedding on a weekend...
That wasn't something that was brought up.
We're talking about what it's regarding is the golf course is being irrigated by the water that's reused and the management of that to get the water capacity.
Okay.
But that's fine. It was just, it would be dumped into the Orenco system on the low period usage to make sure it operated effectively. And with the irrigation, it's subsurface, not aerial, applied so that you're not getting the evaporation, which is giving you optimum use of water. The ultimate concern about drainage, that would maintain the overland drainage. It's controlled by ponds. In our presentation, we talked about stormwater ponds. The study outlined that they're there to control discharge so there's no negative impact on adjacent.
I didn't hear anything about drainage either.
She was talking about the impact on adjacent neighbors. I think Pat mentioned about...
Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
That's okay. Just finish off.
Drainage... The stormwater management plan will handle drainage, so no natural drainage courses will be affected in flow. Flow is a big factor. And any of the wells will be flow tested. I'd like to just address the specifics in the water with Ken and Ivan,
okay.
If I may.
Afternoon again to the chair and council. I am, like we discussed, I'm always careful on these water volumes because it's a little confusing, but one of the values that they quoted was 64 cubic meters per day. That is the calculated maximum sustainable yield for the well. The actual values they've calculated for use would be 48 cubic meters per day, assuming that it's 100% used that day. Probably the average through the year would be 10 to 20, say 20 cubic meters per day, average throughout the year, assuming that, you know, it's fairly well utilized facility. That 20 cubic meters a day, I'm told, is enough for 200 cow-calf pairs. It's equivalent to that. That's the same water demand. So it's not, and typically for these type of operations, you know, the water demands are moderate. There are some calculations in the Stantec report on how it would affect the distance or how the water supply, even at 64 cubic meters a day, would affect the neighboring water levels. That's a very conservative assumption that they're all in one aquifer. They only did their calculations out to about a kilometer because they didn't really feel there's much influence beyond a kilometer radius. So, you know, you are taking water. There's, of course, that your water is being reused and recycled on site is another thing in your favor, and various recharge from rainwater. And I'll leave that to Ivan to make some more comments.
Ivan.
Ivan Grafko. Through the chair to council, to give you some perspective, that the 20 cubic meters per day that the 21 lodge and the 21 room and the lodge would utilize is about 4,400 imperial gallons. And on water co-ops, normally the allotment is 3,000 gallons per farm.
Okay, and did you have anything else? Chloe?
Yes, I'm speaking to a letter that I received from Rick MacGyver, Transportation Minister, regarding the 574 Highway. The sentence that was not read to you is that, yes, they have hired an engineering company to design the pavement for the 574. It is not in the three-year plan. However, money comes up and projects are canceled, and they want to have that paving ready to go. And that, I don't have the word-for-word quote. I do have the letter somewhere in my materials, and I believe that Rick has a copy of that letter as well. So they're very much attentive to that road. They know it needs doing. No guarantees it's going to be in 3 years, but it's going to be ready to go if there's money that is canceled somewhere else.
Councillor Bocelli?
Elaine Watson wrote in opposition, and I just wanted to confirm. So she would have shown up as someone who doesn't live there, but her concern is about the water and her cows and that sort of thing. So she's ranching, but she doesn't live on the site.
That's correct. She lives on the hill above Cochrane.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Solberg?
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Cartwright. With regards to, you know, what you just talked about, the potential for getting 574 done sooner rather than later, I think there's another factor that wasn't talked about here, and that is, what would you project to be your opening date? Like, how much time would it take to build the course and build the your gambrel roofed 21 suite lodge and so on?
I'm going to say at least 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of that is development permits for the lodge, hiring a construction team, tendering, and the course. You know, we've got to do the rough grading and then the landscaping on the course, and they need to mature. You can't play on them just because they look pretty. So it's a ways out.
And I guess the other question is, did you ever see yourself as a quarter section rancher?
No.
Thanks.
I'm a vegetarian.
All right. Okay. I don't see any other questions. And is that everything for your rebuttal?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And did any of those who were speaking in favor want to rebut anything that they heard in opposition? Questions of administration? Councillor Haberfield?
Yes, thank you. Through you to Rick. I may have been confused about this. Is the golf course proposed to be just for the guests at the boutique hotel and their small RV park, or is it proposed to be a public golf course?
Through the chair to Councillor Haberfield, I do believe it's intended to be sort of open to the public, although I think the information that Chloe has given me is that she's really trying to cater it to users of the facilities as well as an extra sort of recreational amenity. But, you know, if the land use is approved, it could ultimately go either way based on her operational needs.
Is that a change from last year?
I think the applicant is better left to answer that.
Sorry, our primary marketing goal is to bring fresh money into the county. That's how it's going to have spin-off benefits and plug the holes in our economic bucket so that we are no longer one of the lowest income producers in Rocky View County, if you look at the ag plan. So we want to bring in fresh money via tourism, via busloads of stay-and-play golfers,
okay.
Weddings, corporate retreats. On those days, it's closed.
Thanks, Chloe. Sorry, like right now we're doing questions of administration. If administration can't ask, then what
okay.
they would do
is
they
I was just looking, is that a change from last year?
No, it's not, and
okay.
It's open to the public on non-function days.
Thanks,
given,
Chloe.
Given that golf courses, if they do 8-minute tee times, that would be 7 tee times per hour, and in the summer a golf course would run at least from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That could be a maximum of 280 golfers per day. I'm going towards the traffic impact study. And Rick, I assume you have that in your file. Do traffic impact assessments include trips to the course and then leaving the course? So if there are 280 golfers, is 400 trips per day just for the golf course reasonable?
Through the chair to Councillor Haberfield.
Was that included, I guess?
My understanding of the TIAs that are reviewed by our engineering department predominantly is they do factor in trips to and from
okay.
the facility. So the 450 vehicles per day would calculate traffic traveling both to and from, as well as it is important to note that there is the banquet facility, which could hold fairly large functions. So again, I personally didn't review that. I know our engineering staff has reviewed the study and didn't have any concerns with the conclusions that TIA made.
I would like to know, perhaps it's Byron that can answer this or somebody in your department, did the traffic impact assessment look at this being a public golf course and include that kind of traffic in it? Or
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I would have to go through the details of the TIA to see what was the assumptions of the TIA at the time, so I can respond back to that question.
That might be good to have. And how many workers would be required at the site, and would they be bused in or driving? I guess I'd like to know a little bit more about the traffic impact, if you can find it, please.
Councillor Belkey.
Thank you. Through the chair to administration, we heard that on the TIAs, that they're taken as capacity, full capacity of whatever the projection is. Is that true as well as water consumption, that it's taken at the top? I have one more question.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to Councillor Belkey. When TIAs are submitted, they're virtually submitted to deal with average traffic. So the peak traffic could be every once in a while higher than that average yearly flow. Events, special functions, every once in a while that could be over the 400 or 450 vehicles a day, but we try to look at it as an average yearly daily flow to try to get a generality of traffic through the year.
And the same with water flow?
You are looking at, again, average daily consumptions.
Average. Okay, now stormwater, is it as the same when you're dealing with a quarter section development like this? Is it the same post development as it was pre, as far as runoff goes? Like, we heard that there's concerns of recharging aquifers or recharging dugouts or whatever downstream. But does the same amount of water have to leave a proposal like this with a stormwater plan?
That would be consistent with ours and Alberta Environment Standards to have pre and post match.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Sakuda.
Yeah, question for administration. If we approve this, what prevents or retards the growth of a small town around the golf course?
Through the chair to Councillor Sakuda, again, it would be future applications and decisions by council, where if those did arise, council would be left to dealing with those types of applications.
So would it be prudent if further applications came in, if we were to approve this, for a conceptual scheme or an area structure plan around the area to kind of tell us what would happen after this happens?
Through the chair, again, I think that's one of the struggles administration has with it from a growth perspective, is that this isn't an area where that type of growth right now is really supported by any of the plans that we really have. There is, again, some agricultural business diversification, which the Ag Master Plan openly supports. But as far as this area and further residential development in this area, aside from what might change if this application were to be approved, which still, if you're looking at advancing of residential, country residential in and around surrounding this, would probably be challenged from a policy perspective. So to come up with an area plan for development up here certainly wouldn't be something that we'd be recommending as being required right now.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Pacelli.
Through the chair to administration. I understand that the Highway 574 is provincial, but let's just say Range Road 35, we've got about three-quarter section lengths here. How much would it cost to put calcium on that if we had put it on the road program?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I believe on a per kilometer application of calcium, we are in between $1,100 and $1,200 per kilometer for straight calcium.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Silver.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, I guess I have to distract. Perhaps Rick can answer this. On the traffic impact, do I understand then that that's an average, so they don't really talk about weekend traffic, which perhaps would be greater than, say, weekdays. They actually take and average it out, or do they actually, in the impact analysis, consider peak days at all, or is that just a hypothesis?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, both are considered. The TIA looks at your peak volume generations and your peak time generations. For example, in a business, your peak time would be roughly 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, 4 to 5 o'clock at night. But then it also has to consider your average daily volumes, because that is then inclusive of your background traffic volumes that are also the other users of the road, to then be factored into what are the improvements necessary to deal with all the traffic using the road. So it looks at both, factors in all, but it also has to give consideration to what is the yearly average on these roads.
So yearly average.
Sure. Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, it would be like there's a winter season, of course, which there wouldn't be any golfing in this instance. So presumably that would be lower, but that's averaged in so that it would actually show up as a larger amount overall. Is that how it works then?
That is correct. And Alberta Transportation does follow the same sort of understanding of traffic flows. They will use annual average daily traffic and annual seasonal daily traffic. Again, the definition of seasonal is your high months, your summer months, because that's when you're going to start seeing more traffic flow on some of these roads because of vacationers and virtually just everyone out on the road during the summer months rather than the winter months.
Now, on the dust situation on the provincial 574, does the county actually have the ability to calcium that stretches of that road if it was needed?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we do, and we have.
You have. Now, was that done when the pictures we saw here, but that was a significant amount of dust that was showing there. Would those have been taken before calcium, or was there only sections that were calciumed?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, if council will recall, we actually used some of our transportation money to calcium a whole section of 574. Now I just have to go back to our maintenance people to understand which section it was. I would say by looking at those pictures, obviously there was no calcium on that road. So I would just have to try to connect the two, where we calciumed and where those pictures were taken and when they were taken.
Yeah. And if someone wanted to pay for calcium for a certain stretch of road, would they be able to and actually contract with the county to do that?
Yes, we have completed that in the past.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Blair.
Mr. Chairman, there was a question from Councillor Haberfield on whether the TIA distinguishes between it being a private course and a public course, and there's nothing within the TIA I can determine whether it talks about whether there's a difference.
Councillor Haberfield?
Okay, I have three more questions for Byron's department. First of all, the recent changes to the transportation levy, did it exempt golf course lands from the levy?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, if you are talking the lands that are in play under the golf course, yes, it did.
So on this quarter section, if we can bring up the map that shows the proposed development, what would be the area that the transportation levy would apply to?
In general terms, through you, Mr. Chairman, the leviable lands would be the golf course, clubhouse, any parking lot associated with the clubhouse, and any parking lot or structure associated with the maintenance of the clubhouse,
okay,
or the golf course.
Plus the boutique hotel lodge and maybe the chapel?
Correct.
Okay. But none of those lands where the fairways are?
That is correct.
Okay. So for that traffic, we would be not collecting a lot of transportation levy to upgrade the road with county levy monies?
With the current changes to the levy, we would not be collecting as much.
Okay. Apple Creek Golf Course, which is located between Airdrie and Crossfield, west of Dixon Stevenson. Were they required to upgrade the road going from Dixon Stevenson to their golf course to a paved standard?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, yes, they were.
And what were their... I know you probably don't have it there, but it was... How would that compare in size to here? This is less than a quarter section. Do you know how big theirs was?
I don't have the exact configuration of how much land was involved in the Apple Creek. I think the difference between the two is the road that is fronting the golf course of Apple Creek is connecting to a paved surface, whereas when we looked at this golf course, there is a gravel road connecting to a gravel road, which is the provincial system. So we felt we would be a little bit out of our usual understanding of pavement because of the gravel scenario that this would connect to.
Okay, but typically that number would require a paved standard?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, it is a finite number. We'd like to see roads being paved around the 400 to 450 vehicles a day.
Okay, that was my question. What is our trigger point for a paved road? So anywhere else in the county, this typically would be recommending a paved road?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Scuda?
Yeah, I think this is covered in the introduction of the administration report, but I just want to confirm that the difference between the proposal we saw last year and the proposal we're seeing today is just a change in the number of letters in support. Is that correct?
Through the chair, mostly correct. The other thing which has happened between now and then is, again, sort of a secondary consultant review, an update to some of those studies. And I know that the applicant did a fair amount of work since then on the irrigation system proposed for the golf course. More testing of that. And there was a question earlier on about the reference to unprofessionally certified sort of information provided in the report. And administration included that reference because generally when we see the technical reports, we do like to see the engineer stamp and certify. And so the reference in the staff report was to suggest that this is just information that was certainly not certified by professionals in the industry. So that was the context of that as well.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Magnuson.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm glad Councillor Haberfield brought up her transportation off-site levies. I'm estimating that we would get about $80,000 transportation off-site levies if this is on about 20 acres.
If 20, through you, Mr. Chairman, if 20 acres was the side, that'd be a rough number, yes.
Okay. And can I just speak about, have we done traffic counts on Range Road 35 and Township Road 574 to estimate? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of gravel trucks running up and down these roads. Do we know what the count is right now on both of those roads?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to Councillor Magnuson. Range Road 35 we have no historical counts on because it is a low-volume road, so we just have not gone up there. I did go to the Alberta Transportation website and pulled traffic counts from 574. These are 2011 counts, and they indicate between 160 and 190 vehicles a day on that road.
160 to 190 per
right.
day.
Right, and again, we are talking average daily, so this may not include if there is a truck haul or not a truck haul.
So the transportation impact assessment says something gets triggered at 400 vehicles per day on which road, Range Road 35 or Township Road 574?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the trigger or the improvement that the TIA is looking for is strictly for Range Road 35. As we heard within the body of the report, Alberta Transportation is not looking for any improvements to 574, and there is some conversation out there that they are also looking at a servicing strategy for 574, as it has also been one of the county's priorities to get surfacing on over the number of years.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Bocelli.
Okay, through the chair to administration, hopefully for the last time. I'm looking at my map. I'm adding up miles from 766, which is paved, correct? Yep, got a nod. To Chinook Ridge, I'm thinking it's about nine kilometers. So at 10, so with the 1,100 to 1,200 per kilometer for the calcium, I'm coming up with about $10,000 per application to get from a paved standard to Chinook Ridge. Give or take. Well, I'm in the right magnitude.
Sorry, I'm just struggling to find the map here to connect here.
Yeah.
If Byron, I think this is hypothetical, so why don't we assume that those numbers are correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. And then to Kent Robinson, if I may, what would be our tax, what's the tax assessed, what's our taxes off of a golf course for a quarter section?
Yeah, through the chair, golf courses are, as you can well imagine, fairly unique in terms of their valuing or the way our assessment crew values them. They look at it from two different perspectives. They look at it, first of all, from the cost of construction. So they look at how much it costs to build the golf course, and then they look at the income that it derives. So they look at number of rounds that they can get in a year. And so the only comparison that I could use would be the Madden golf course, and I can certainly pull that information and see what exactly they pay on an annual basis for a municipal tax. That would be the closest one to this, would be the Madden golf course. But the struggle is that golf courses don't trade hands on an ongoing basis, so to value them is somewhat problematic, especially when they're, I would suggest, rural like this.
Okay. Can you give me a ballpark?
Well, I can certainly take me 10 minutes to find out what the Madden golf course pays.
I am curious.
Good.
You wouldn't mind. No, thanks.
Deputy Reeve McLean.
Yeah, through to you, Byron. I guess the question came up about the transportation levies off the given lands, and I guess the question to you is, who amended the bylaw to exclude golf courses from taking levies?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, Council did.
And so we're hearing some questions here today about, you know, there's going to be a lack of levies, but the bylaw is for council's consideration either to take levies or not to take levies, and it was just amended recently, correct?
That's correct.
To exclude it. So we should be looking at that differently. The other one is on the TIA, does administration have the authority to ask for improvements in above the recommendations of the TIA? Do you have the ability to, if you, through your analysis, believe that you want different road treatments, do you have the ability in development permitting stage to ask for those?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, yes, we do.
Okay. So if this was to be successful today, you would evaluate this as it relates to the development permit, because it probably wouldn't go through a subdivision scenario but through a development permitting, and you would evaluate the